You are listening to Grow a Thriving Practice podcast. This is episode 106, From Self-Healing to a Full Practice with Allison Osherman. My name is Jillian Faldmo, and I teach wellness practitioners the exact steps to find clients and get paid so they can spend less time marketing and more time doing what they love. This is the Grow a Thriving Practice podcast. All right. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into today's episode. Today, it's been a while, but I have a very special guest on the podcast. I haven't had a guest in months, and I know you've been asking for this. So I selected very intentionally Allison Osherman to join us of Good Vibrations Holistic Therapy. Allison is a biofield tuner. She practices craniosacral therapy. She does sound baths all in the Nashville area. Did I just say it like Nashvillians say it? Nashville. And she also does a lot online too. And I wanted her on this podcast today because Allison's been a client of mine for a little while. And we were just reflecting on her journey the other day of how much she's grown as a practitioner since January. She started coaching in January. She had a goal at that time, which I'll let her speak more about. And now she's achieved that goal. She's seeing clients all the time. She's got a busy client schedule and she's hosting all kinds of events. And I just wanted her on this podcast today because she is an absolute example of what is possible with this work. She also came from a OT background as well. And so I would love for her to share her story about what led her here doing this work, how it's been so transformative for not only her clients, but her as well. And some of the challenges that she's faced along the way and some words of encouragement for all you listeners. All right. So Allison,
hello, Jillian. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to be on here with you. I listen to your podcast all the time, and so it's kind of surreal to be on it. So yeah, thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on it. I know I asked Allison, we were in a meeting last week and I was like, you know what? Will you be on the podcast? And she was just an immediate yes. She's like, okay, let's do it. I love it. So this was planned a week ago and here we are making it happen. We both know that condition that if either of us botches anything, we can go back and edit. So no problem. Awesome. Okay. So tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got here. What's your background and some of the experiences that led you to doing this work that you love so much now?
Oh, cool. Yeah. So, okay. A little bit about me. I was born and raised in Colorado, grew up in Colorado Springs, went to college out there and then moved to Arizona, went to occupational therapy school out there. And, my sound journey really began in Phoenix, Arizona. That's where we were at. I was gifted a singing bowl from my mother-in-law. She gave me a singing bowl while I was in OT school and I was really stressed out, had really bad anxiety, battled with depression and anxiety for a good portion of my life. And the first time I played it, I was like, whoa, my brain just shut off and it never shuts off. And so I started making it like my morning ritual. I'd wake up, play the bowl, go to school, go to work, go do all the things. And it just kind of progressed from there. It was more a self-healing journey for probably the first 5 or 6 years. And then after becoming an occupational therapist, I worked in basically any setting that you could work in my first 5 years of being an OT. I really wanted to challenge myself and just see what see what was out there, see where I wanted to fit, see what felt good to me. And so I worked home health, I worked ICU, I worked inpatient psych, I, you know, worked in rehabs and all that as well, and loved it. And my sound journey kind of started to mold into my OT journey when I started working for a neuro-based home health company. I had a client who was open to it, and I just had the thought, I was like, oh, I'm just gonna bring some bowls and some instruments. And it turned into something bigger than I could have imagined at that point. There was some miraculous things that happened. A lot of healing happened for this particular client. It was really beautiful to watch. And that got me thinking, I was like, oh, I could actually do this for other people. And so my family, we moved to Germany for a year, 2019 to 2020. And during that time, I couldn't really be an occupational therapist because I didn't speak German fluently. And so I did a yoga teacher training in Spain that was like 3 weeks long. And that was a big turning point in my journey. That was first time I felt like myself, and I also brought the bowls with me, and everybody wanted me to play them, and so I just kind of continued that. And then when I got to Germany, I taught yoga, I started taking sound healing courses, and that's when I found Eileen McCusick's work. Was through one of the courses, and I really liked tuning forks. So, you know, I started out with, like, you know, the harmonic spectrum set, and you know, quickly realized that this was something that I really liked. I just feel like tuning forks kind of, they cut through the static. They're very precise. And so fast forward, we landed in Nashville in 2020. And after we landed here, I took her course after my son was born and loved it and was like, oh my gosh, I can really incorporate this. And after my son was born, I was working in the hospital system up until then and realized that that wasn't where I wanted to be anymore. I really wanted to help people on a different level. And so I created my own business when we landed in Nashville, and I kind of did it on the side, doing sound baths here or there. And then after my son was born, I just put all my energy into creating this business. So I practiced on anybody I could. I was like, do you want to do biofield tuning? Do you want to do biofield tuning? And so, yeah, that kind of led me, I was doing it on my own for about maybe, I don't even know, maybe like a year, almost a year before I think I connected with you. I listened to your podcast for a while, and then I did, I think, one of your freebies, the, you know, 30-day goal setting. It was like a 30-minute coaching call. And I think I signed up maybe like six months later. So just kind of one of those things. It wasn't like an immediate sign up, but it was, it also kind of showed me too how clients think, you know, because it just wasn't at that time. I was like, okay, I think I'm going to try this on my own for a little bit. And I tried it on my own and it didn't quite, quite work. And so then I started working with you, and yeah, my practice has really blossomed. It's been really amazing since January when I started working with you. I think I was seeing maybe like 3, maybe 4, if it was a really good week, clients a week, and most of it was just friends. And my goal was to see at least, I wanted to have 10 clients a week, like, you know, between 8 and 10 clients a week was my goal. And I would say back in August is when I started to reach that, when I started to see around like 8 to 10 clients. And then my goal kind of shifted. Okay, now I want to be booked out for at least 2 weeks ahead. And then that happened soon after. And I was kind of like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And then I'm getting to the point now where I'm almost booked out about a month. And it depends, you know, like people cancel and you have things open up, but overall, it's been a really awesome progression. I have I have one office that's off of Music Row. It's in a trauma therapy office. And so I get a lot of referrals through there as well. And then I now have another space. I've kind of bounced around to different spaces as I'm trying to figure out what works best for me. And so now I'm at another place on Thursdays that's a little bit outside of Nashville. So I kind of bounce around a lot, but I find that that's what I like. I don't like hardcore routine, you know, go to the same place Monday through Friday. So yeah. It's really nice having my own business, because I can do that. So
yeah, that's one of the things I love about it, is the flexibility in the schedule. And especially with you having a little one, I bet that is so awesome.
Yeah, it's been amazing. I think I was looking at it the other week, because I was, you know, asking my husband what, you know, how many hours a week I work. And I work around, like, including kind of background admin time stuff, it's probably around like 24 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, at this point, you know, I'm making good money. I'm making full-time money. So,
that's so amazing.
Yeah. 'Cause I get to spend the mornings with my son, and, you know, like I can pick him up if I need to, I can rearrange things. I get holidays off, 'cause when you work in the hospital, you usually don't.
Right.
Holiday off, or you have to pick one holiday. And, yeah, so I started the craniosacral work around the same time as the biofield tuning, and I found that they just really meld together beautifully. They both are working on the nervous system, just two different aspects or two different frames of reference, because biofield tuning is focusing on the nervous system, not only within your body, but also out and around your body, because we're all connected in that way. Mm-hmm. And the craniosacral work is working on your physical nervous system. So it's helping to facilitate those changes and allow the body to unwind in the way that it needs to on a physical level, which also helps the energetic level. So that's been kind of fun to play with the tuning forks and the craniosacral work whenever I work with friends.
Nice. And do your clients get the craniosacral work too?
Yeah. Yeah. So I offer craniosacral sessions, and then I also offer biofield tuning sessions.
Oh, and, okay.
Yeah.
So as separate services.
Exactly. Yeah. Got so it. I have separate services. However, you know, if I've had clients for a while, we'll end up kind of doing some more hybrid sessions. So it's kind of like I've noticed my practice starting to morph a little bit more that way. And so I'm just kind of holding space and figuring out, you know, where that's going to go, if that's going to lead me anywhere, or if it's just, you know, something really fun to try and play with.
Yeah, sounds like it. That's so cool. Okay, so you mentioned a few things that I want to ask you about, in particular. So I want to know, I'm going to just kind of list them right now. No, I'm not. I'm just going to take them one at a time. So, you mentioned how clients think. So when you were maybe consuming the podcasts and things like that, you said you were learning how clients think. Can you share a little bit more about that and how?
Yeah, okay. Totally. Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, I get the whole planting the seeds thing. I think we've talked about, or you do talk about a lot in your podcast, because it was like, okay, I'm going to start listening to this person, and I'm like, oh, I really like this podcast. Oh, this is a lot of really good information. Oh, she's doing a freebie. Okay, I'm going to try that. And then that just like molds into, you know, oh, I got to talk with you. I got to see how a coaching session could go. And I enjoyed it. And then I was kind of like, well, you know, like thinking about the investment of it, and kind of, you know, tried to do my own thing for a little bit, and then was like, you know what, I'm just going to try this for 6 months. I was like, I'm just going to try it for 6 months. And here we are, like almost, or over a year later, I think. So
yeah, almost. I think it's been, I think December is actually a year, isn't it?
Yes, it's almost been a year.
Yeah, yeah.
But it would just kind of got me thinking, because when you start out, it's a lot of that, like, you know, you feel like you're failing if you don't, you know, convert a client right away. Mm-hmm. you know, like you tell somebody about what you do and they're like, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. And they take your card and then they never call you, or, you know, or they don't call you in 6 months. Maybe they call you a year later. And it's that whole, it's just trusting the process, because if you're doing what you love and you love what you do, the clients will come. They'll find you, you know, you resonate with certain people and you don't with others. And some people might not be ready for the work. You know, they might need to be sorting through a few other things before they're really ready to come to you. And, you know, we don't know those things. We're not privy to those things. And so, yeah, I think it just kind of reflecting back on that, I was like, oh, it's totally that client.
Yeah. So I talk about the fast decision makers and the slow decision makers. Right. Awesome. And you're a slow decision maker, which the majority of people are. There's actually not a whole lot of fast decision makers out there. And so that's so cool that you got to experience that, or you were aware that you were experiencing that as a client. Mm-hmm. So that when you started putting your stuff out there, you had that perspective and mindset that, like, I'm planting the seed. And there, you know, people are going to, usually it takes about a year, I think, to convert somebody to work with you. If it is a match. So do you have any of your clients shared that with you, that like have been watching you for a long time, or I've been getting your emails?
Yeah, I actually had a client recently that reached out via like on Instagram and was like, you know, I really want you to get a session in. I've been following you for, you know, months now. I love what you do. Do you have an opening? I'm here on these dates. And so that was really kind of cool, because it was, you know, someone that I hadn't officially like met in person, but they saw my online content and were curious. And so then they stuck around and started, you know, oh, well, what's this stuff? That's interesting. It's interesting because the occupational therapy community is fairly open to this stuff. I see OTs tend to be, we're holistic. I mean, we're taught to be more holistic. You know, looking at the whole person as, you know, spiritual, you know, mechanical, and, you know, everything else in between. Whereas I feel like a lot of allopathic medicine tends to put you in boxes and compartmentalize. But so I kind of had that, you know, mindset going into it. And so I tend to attract people who are either OTs or have worked with OTs. It's kind of interesting.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And do they see that you were an OT, like when you're on Instagram? Is that on
somewhere? It is a part of it. You know, it's not obviously all of it. I found that when I had to give up that label when we moved, I realized how much weight I had put on that label.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, that was a really big release to like let that go. You know, I'm still an occupational therapist. I still have that experience and that lens that I view things through, but the modalities that I use are a lot, are more non-traditional.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it's definitely a mindset shift, because people get really caught up in, you know, well, I am this, and it's like, well, no, you're Jillian, you know, or you're Alan. So it's figuring out who you are beyond that.
I think it's really important for, you know, especially someone who's moving into this work to hear that and to understand it, because as long as we're identifying with our past and the roles we played in the past, it, and identifying with it in a way that's kind of holding us back, right? Then it will hold us back. So for all of you out there who are wanting to be practitioners and have a practice, now's the time to start claiming that identity. It's just step into that identity of like, I am a practitioner of whatever modality that you're choosing.
Yeah.
So tell us about your Instagram, because I love your Instagram profile. What's your handle?
Good Vibrations Holistic Therapy.
Yeah, she's so good on there, you guys. If you have Instagram, check her out. Good Vibrations Holistic Therapy. So you have to tell us a little bit about your process with that. Like, how do you make it work? I'm even wondering, because I am not a fan of social media, and I always look at those who are doing so well and I'm like, dang, you're killing it.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you for thinking that. There's definitely, so the whole Instagram thing, I started this Instagram when we were in Germany, and it was a challenge for myself because I don't really like to put myself out there. And then also I was doing something that a majority of the people in my life were like, what is this? Like, this is super woo-woo. Like, okay, you're playing bowls. You're, you know, like, what is this? And I didn't want to be looked at kind of like a spectacle, if that makes sense, you know, like a circus or something, like, you know, we'll just watch what she's doing. And so I challenged myself. I did weekly, like 15-minute Instagram live, like sound baths. I don't know how long I did that. Probably like at least 2 or 3 months. And then I got over that fear of like, oh, you know, people seeing me. And yeah, my Instagram, it just kind of started to morph into what it is naturally. I don't actually like sit and go, okay, I'm gonna post this day. Like, if you follow me, sometimes I won't post for a week or two. Sometimes I will like post like 3 times a week. So there's not like a rhyme or rhythm to how I post or how I do it. I kind of am just like, oh, I feel like I want to make this video, or, oh, I think I'll do this. And I'll just, you know, put it in my calendar to just try to do something like that. Or, you know, I'll hear a quote and be like, oh, I really like that, and I'm going to, you know, post that. A lot of the local people, they will see, you know, my events and stuff on there. And so I use it for that as well as my email list. And because talking with you, I really started to beef up my email list. Because social media is like a love-hate thing, because you can get really sucked into it. And I've had to like take a step back for a while and then come back into it. So for me, it's setting boundaries with it. Like, I don't usually get on before 8 a.m. and after 8 p.m. I don't get on. So if you message me, I'm most likely will not respond.
Good boundaries.
It was hard though. It was really hard to set that boundary, because you know, you wake up in the morning and you're like, okay, I'm just gonna see. You know, get that dopamine hit. And then, so I had to really set boundaries with that, which has been really good. So,
Good for you. Yeah. I've set the screen time thing on my phone where like 30 minutes a day, and I just kept hitting ignore it. So I didn't have the discipline. I took it off my phone altogether. I was like, you know what? And now I'm like a excessive email checker. So I got to get that in check.
It's all about balance. I think it's, especially in this day and age, it's really hard to cultivate and find a healthy relationship with technology, because it
totally
does over our entire lives.
It does. Yeah. And I was just reading something the other day that says that our bodies were not built for like digital connection.
Yeah,
because every time a ding goes off, or the, like, your body sounds a little alarm, whether we realize it or not. And it's crazy making.
Yeah, no, yeah. For sure.
So I'm glad you found a healthy way to approach it.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Yeah. Okay. So next question is, you more than doubled your clientele from January to August.
Yes.
And then after that, you built a wait list, right? Or you had people booking 2 weeks out. And then after that, booking a month out. So I want to know, what were the mindset shifts that took place during that time, and the best strategy that worked for you? So do you want to start with the mindset piece?
Yeah, I think the mindset was like, I had a big confidence shift. You know, like whenever you start something new, you're still in that like, am I doing this right? Am I actually helping people? I mean, I felt like that as an OT for the first probably like year.
Yeah.
To year and a half. And then you finally like get to this point where you're like, no, like I do know what I'm doing, and people are coming back, and they are seeing progress. I'm seeing progress with them. And I continue to do my own work. You know, I get biofield tuning sessions at least once a month. Most months I get it twice a month.
Do you do that just because I hear the people in the background asking, are you receiving one-on-one sessions or group sessions or a combination?
One-on-one sessions, and then I do do like your group sessions. But yeah, I have a friend that I trade with, and then I also work with another advanced practitioner too, to learn and mentor and also receive. So yeah, that's how I get them.
Nice.
Group sessions are also awesome. And whenever I do group sessions, I throw my, you know, hologram into the mix as well.
Yeah. Good stuff. Okay. So you had the confidence boost. You were actually receiving the work that you offer to others, which I think is so important.
Yeah. What else are you able to like explain it? And, you know, if you don't fully know what it feels like, because it took me a bit to even have like a detox response, because I was receiving and then all of a sudden it was like my eighth session, and I was like, whoa, because you know, that it kind of like came out of nowhere. I was like, well, maybe I won't, you know, be the one to detox. I was like, no, I definitely did. But yeah, so that's like, you have those experiences and you can relate and explain those to your clients, so they feel more comfortable and kind of know what to expect with things as well.
Totally.
Yeah, so the mindset shift with that. And then as far as things that I did, I networked a lot. And I had been doing this before. And so it was like, you know, before January, I, you know, was talking with some, you know, trauma therapists that work in the office that I'm at. Some of them do, you know, holistic modalities, and then also do intensive work with people, you know, where people will come for a whole week and, you know, be doing some deep dive into a specific, you know, issue. And I became one of those like ancillary services of like, hey, you know, it's really good to get body work done while you're doing all this, you know, cerebral processing work. And so, you know, I would do craniosacral with them, and then also biofield tuning. And then through that, you know, working with the therapist, they were seeing some really cool stuff after, because they would sometimes, I would work with somebody, do a biofield tuning session, and then they would have a session with them right after. And it just cut through the, you know, beginning of a therapy session where you're just talking about your day and how things are going and all that. It's like, kind of cut through that and was like, this is what came up. This is what I want to look at. Wow. So that was really cool. So, I got in with that, and then reaching out in the community. Whenever I would do sound baths, I would talk more about what I do one-on-one. And I showed people. I did so many free sessions just so people could see what I did.
Yeah.
Experience it themselves. And so that was honestly, I'd say, the biggest thing. I think the biggest thing too is, you know, knowing where your expertise ends and where someone else's begins. That's why I like working with people who are, you know, going to these trauma therapists or going to these therapists that are in the building that I'm at, because I know that they're getting good care. They have a beautiful support team around them. And so then I know that I'm not that person for them, because in this work you can kind of quickly become that for somebody if they don't have other support system around them. So that's one of the intake questions that I usually have for people, is just like, what's your support system like?
So important. Yeah. So it sounds like networking and just having those connections. So people make referrals to you. That's been working super, super well. And then also, just showing people how you can help them. That is what marketing is showing people how you can help. So you've done that really well.
Oh, well, thank you. And one thing too, that was helpful with your coaching was kind of beefing up my website. And I know you don't necessarily need a website to get started, so I'm not here to tell people like, don't get started if you don't have a website, but a website can really help people find you. Because you think about, if you go out to eat, you Google best restaurants in Nashville or, wherever you're at. And so people will Google, biofield tuning Nashville or, biofield tuning near me. And so having, an easy way for people to find you, I think has been really beneficial, because I always ask on my intake too, how did you hear about me? And it's usually, if it's not a referral, it's internet. It's, like Google search.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that you asked that question. It's a really good question to ask, because then you, as the business owner, have some insight into what is working really well. Like, where are these people coming from? Cool. Okay. So you're doing really well, but tell us about maybe some of the challenges you've faced in growing your practice and how you managed to overcome them.
Oh gosh. Definitely that inner critic. Self-doubt would just like creep in out of nowhere, especially, when I was only seeing like a client, once or twice a week. And I was just putting all this pressure of like, okay, I need to be full right now. I need to, grow the business right now. And, I actually did a lot of like internal work with that. I worked with, a therapist, did some brain spotting, was doing biofield tuning sessions, and just kind of working on where was that coming from, that I'm not good enough, core wound kept popping up. And so it was really like looking at that and going, what is the root of this? Like, is this real? Okay. And I would go through like worst case scenario. Okay. So nobody books, for the next month. Okay. And then like, what happens after that? And you kind of like, you can just like realize how irrational that sounds after you start to like go down that, that path. So that's probably, I would say, the biggest challenge. And then two, I know we already talked about it, but the Instagram thing, that was a huge like challenge for me to put myself out there and to continue to put myself out there. And that was just like, I just set goals. Like, I like setting goals for myself. That was one of the big things, when I got out of OT school, I was like, my goal is be uncomfortable for 5 years. Like, put yourself in situations where you're uncomfortable, because that's how you grow. Because if you'd start to become comfortable, then, you can start to become complacent and you start to just stay there because it feels so good.
Yeah, totally.
It does feel really good. But moving forward and trying new things and just like, that there's a lot more, I'd say a lot more rewarding than staying in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love that worst case scenario thing, because it's often, we just stop at, I'm afraid to put myself out there, and we just stop. We're like, we don't try to look at like why or what's the worst thing that could happen. And so that's it. That's the end all be all in the story. But once we start to dive into, okay, like what exactly am I afraid of if I put myself out there? And we start to uncover the things like rejection and embarrassment and isolation and all, the things that at our core, that we have this intrinsic desire to avoid, right? Yeah. And then when we can understand that, like, okay, well, worst case scenario is I'll end up dying alone. I mean, that's really what it boils down to when we go there all the way down. That is it, right? And then we're like, wait, the likelihood of that happening, very, very slim. And if it does happen, I mean, I'll ultimately be okay, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it I mean, and it's easy for, you know, me to say that I'm not in it, but when you're actually in it, that it's kind of like I did it when with the Instagram thing. I was like, people are gonna think I'm crazy. Okay, so people think I'm crazy. Well, no one's gonna be my friend. Okay, well, you find, you know, and like, and then that's when I was like, well, that's ridiculous. Like, I'm gonna have friends. There's so many people out there. Someone's gonna like me.
Yeah. And now I think we've talked about this before. Now you're surrounded by people who are genuinely your friend, like that see you, Allison, for exactly who you are and what you do, and they love you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been really cool finding that community, you know, here who just really supports me as, you know, as a human, and then also what I do, you know, they're like legit want to know what I do. You know, whereas I think, you know, people that I've had in the past might just not understand, and that's totally fine. You know, I feel like people come in and out for a reason, and so it's just being open to those shifts.
Yeah.
Instead of, yeah, closed off to them, because they're going to happen. It's just easier to be more open.
Totally. Totally. Who is your favorite kind of type of person to work with, client to work with?
I love working with clients who are already like starting that healing journey. So, you know, someone who goes to therapy and it understands a bit more about their emotions and like sensations in their bodies, because it's really fun, you know, to work with those clients, you know, when you're in their field and you're working with them, and you know, you ask them, you know, what are you noticing in your body, and they're like, I'm feeling energy move, you know, from here to here, you know, as opposed to the client that's just like
nothing,
you know. Which is, you know, fine, because everybody's, you know, at their own, you meet people where they're at. Yeah. But yeah, I love working with clients like that who are really there to just surrender to the process and let it all out. That's been a really rewarding thing to see, to be able to hold space for people to have those releases, the emotional releases, physical releases, and help them to feel safe in that process, because it can be very scary, because it's like being cracked open. You know, and people seeing you. And so, yeah, that's been really rewarding to be able to witness for clients.
Totally. Yeah. And I bet you can go really deep, with them and really make some changes.
Yeah.
So what's the most like impressionable, I know this, I'm putting you on the spot here, but the most, impressionable transformation you've seen with one of your clients?
Ooh. I know you are putting me on this spot. Yeah, I've had quite a few. I would say the one that probably stands out the most, is this client that when she came to me, she was anxious, angry, just not, it was kind of her against the world is how I would describe it. Just that feeling. Mm-hmm. I remember doing the intake and being like, okay, this is going to be, you know, like I have to be energetically prepared, mm-hmm. You know, for this person. And, you know, there was a while there where it was like, okay, like, you know, this client's coming, I have to like really ground in, because I never knew what was going to show up. And then I would say in the last like couple months, huge shift, big life changes for her. really starting to open her eyes to a different way of viewing the world, which has been really cool.
Wow.
It's like she kind of had blinders on, I would say, you know, in the very beginning. And it's like we're starting to lift those blinders off, and she can see different perspectives of different people. It's not, there's less blaming. And she, and it was interesting because I would ask her, you know, how she was doing, and she would tell me about all the other people in her life, how they were doing. And so, you know, I held space for it. And then after about a month of that, you know, I pointed it out to her, and she was kind of taken aback. And I was just like, I want to know really like how you're doing, like, what are you feeling in your body? And she had to take a minute and like really sink in. And then ever since then, it's been a gradual shift more into that.
Wow. So that's great to see. Yeah. Yeah. So over time, she's been able to basically like, sounds like have a paradigm shift.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and it's all, we're all still in progress. So, you know, it's not like, oh my gosh.
Totally.
You know, but that's been really cool to be able to witness that. And just, I can feel the energy is so much lighter, you know, and so that's been really cool.
That's so fun. That's why we do this work, right? Yeah. That's so cool. Okay. So, we're wrapping up now. For people who are listening that, I know I have some listeners that aren't, sound healing or energy practitioners, their business, they're entrepreneurs, they have their own businesses, and this has just been helping them to grow their own business. So for anybody who might be interested in exploring some work with you, what should we tell them?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram at Good Vibrations. I think it's like Good Vibrations _ holistic therapy. And also my website, www.goodvibrationsholistictherapy.com. You can find me on there. I have my events listed on there. I do in-person group biofield tunings, and then I also do online group biofield tunings. And so I think my next online group biofield tuning is December 18th, Monday, December 18th at 7:30 Central Standard Time.
So yeah, definitely go check her out. And is there anything else that you would love to share with other practitioners who are on their own journey to grow their practice? Any insights or advice?
It kind of came in, and I just feel really called to talk about it. Like just energetic hygiene, I think is really, really key. And that, whether that's getting biofield tuning or any type of energy work or just doing your own thing, but holding space for yourself to just really ground, and stay connected. Cause if you continue doing energy work and things like that, it can really kind of jumble you up because you're in people's energy field all day.
Yeah.
And so some of that stuff can kind of just like hang out with you as you go home. And so I think being really intentional with, you know, how you not only treat your energy, but just your body, and how you take care of yourself, making sure that you're taking care of yourself. Cause yeah, if you're doing, yeah, taking care of a lot of people.
What is your favorite way to do that, or most effective way to do that?
I do grounding. I have a whole morning meditation ritual that I do. I move my body and stretch, and then I go outside regardless of the weather and put my bare feet on the ground. And then I meditate, and then I usually will do like the sauna, just to really like, okay, I'm starting my day, I'm, you know, cleansing everything. And I also, at the end of the day, I take showers before I go to bed, just to really like, you know, wash the day away. And Epsom salt baths, if you're climbing, Epsom salt baths, and I suggest everybody take them.
Totally. I know. Yeah. I was with a client the other day, and I was trying to get her to take a bath, and she had every excuse not to. And I was like, okay, what are we going to do? Okay. Can you take a shower at least? Like, she's like, yeah, I can do that. I was like, okay. But yeah, so important for us and our clients.
Yeah.
For sure. And yeah, lots of sleep. I love the sauna thing too that you mentioned. I love being in the
Yeah.
sauna. I know never not everybody has access to a sauna, but a lot of gyms these days do. And oh my gosh, it just feels so good to sweat.
Yeah, it just helps your body like continue that detox process.
Yeah.
If you're sweating, like if you
Yeah.
don't have a sauna, just sweat.
Yeah, just find a way
Yeah,
to
put your jacket on and turn the heat up.
sweat. Yep. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Allison, for being with us. I am going to include your Instagram page and your website in the show notes. So if you're listening and you want to go check Allison out, you can just click in the show notes and it'll take you right there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. This has been amazing. I really appreciate
Yay. Yeah, I appreciate you being here. I think this was super helpful. You provided so much insight to or for the listener. So thank you so much. All right, everybody. We'll see you in the next episode. Are you a wellness practitioner that wants to grow your business, but you're feeling confused, overwhelmed, maybe even doubtful? Well, let's get you out of that emotional rut and turn those emotions into the fuel that will grow your business. Get the Harness Your Emotional Awareness to Grow Your Business free roadmap at jillianfaldmo.com.